Hey there, I'm Nick Harcourt, and I've met these guys a few times
yeah.
over the years.
We're familiar.
in a lot of different places. I was just thinking as well, all the places we've done live stuff.
Yeah. Crazy.
We
you
go
were
back.
At the show when we didn't get to play in Austin at South by Southwest. Do you remember that?
That's right.
Yeah, the stage manager was terrible and we couldn't go on. It was like 1 a.m.
We have so much history.
It's been a history of triumph and tragedy.
Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, I'm here on stage with stars and I'm so happy to see you guys again.
So happy to see you, buddy.
And that you took a little bit of a time out before your show tonight. And
pleasure.
We're here at Hollywood Forever. And why don't you play a song and then we'll come back and talk a little bit.
All right, cool.
All right, so it's stars. And this is an 88.5 live session.
The song's called Capleton Hill, and it's from our new record.
Closed up the house for one more year. Every single leaf has turned to red. The frost is settling on all the roofs around here. Do you remember what you said? Let's pack the kids and get out.
Well, that was fabulous.
We try to be, Nick. We try to be. Doesn't always work, but most of the time.
I guess that's essentially the title cut of the album, right?
It is. I'm sure the other members of this band will attest. I have a thing about pronouns or like things, like what is it, the thing you add on to something. Like it can't just be...
Because fluorescent light and yes, then there is no love in fluorescent light.
I'm always trying to be simple, more specific. So. But the thing is that that song's called Capleton Hill because it's about us and this place, North Hatley, that my family have had a house in for 120 years. But it's only a house you can live in the summer. There's no heat. So every year we close this place up, and it's a very palpable reminder of time passing and of how many more times you might get to open and close this house. And Stars have spent many times together there. We recorded some of Set Yourself on Fire there and wrote some of it. And so it's been a really important place to us. But from Capleton Hill, which is the name of the album, is more like saying, like, you know, everything changes. Everything has changed to all of us. It's been a shock over the last couple of years. But when you're on Capleton Hill, things don't change. You know, every year I go back and the house is still there and it's still the same old ratty furniture and it still smells like wood and it's still, nothing changes. And I think we wanted to try and give people some place to go in the music that was a place of peace where things weren't turbulent and weren't constantly changing, you know? So a lot of the record is about that.
Kind of like the weather in Los Angeles.
Yeah. A sunny day every day.
It never changes. And I have like a thing where I lived here for a little bit and I'm a weather girl, I'm a northern girl. So I was like, I don't understand how they know that the days are passing or the time is passing because nothing ever changes.
It's true.
And then that's why I think so many people get plastic surgery here because they look in the mirror and they're like, wait a minute. No time has passed. And then we're like, we close up the house, and then we open the house, and then there's a winter. And so anyway, that's my theory.
Well, it's a little bit different, though. Where is the house?
It's in Quebec, about an hour and a half south of Montreal, in the eastern townships.
So weather-wise, a little bit different.
You can't be there in the winter.
From Los Angeles,
once October comes, it's over.
Are there ghosts in the house?
You know, it's funny. There are, I had a guy on the porch last year who claimed to be a medium, and he said there were not ghosts in the house. Mm. And I can be there, and it's quite spooky because it's quite old. And I can be there alone and not be scared, but I think the reason maybe is because the ghosts love me.
Yeah.
And then you turned around and he was gone.
We did our record release, and like something happened, and like I actually was putting a screen up because we were just opening it for the year, and I was putting a screen out, and then it fell into the bushes below, and I was like, Douglas, that wasn't. And then of course, you know, I could hear him like, oh darling, you should have had so much wine at the party, you know. And I was like, Dagger.
My dad loved it a lot. He liked to sit on the porch and watch the leaves change. So.
You're going to play a couple of more songs for us, but before you get into the next one, tell us about the beginnings of this album, because obviously you just alluded in the at the beginning of the conversation to the fact that. You know, it's been a tough couple of years for a lot of people, and especially in the artistic community, and a lot of bands and artists didn't work for a long, long time. So did you...
We got kind of lucky in a way because we had finished a cycle. So we didn't have plans for the year that were big. You know, we were going to try and make the record, but we weren't touring. I mean, I know so many friends who, you know, they had their whole cycle ready, made beautiful records, and then the record disappeared because they couldn't go tour it. They couldn't do any of that. So... That didn't happen to us, but we were apart, and we were trying to write the record. And we very much wanted, Evan especially at the beginning of this process, was like, I really want to make this record together in a room and do this. And then, of course, we were thousands of miles away from each other, so we had to adjust. But it kind of was like a long period of writing occasionally, and then once we started getting back to semi-normal life and we could be together again, it all happened quite quickly, actually.
And Evan and Chris Seligman,
they
bubbled. Like, we bubbled as a family. So we have two kids, and we found this cottage in the Laurentians that my mom's friend owned, and no one was going. And she's like, I went there for a weekend, and I was like, oh, we're not leaving. And then Sully brought up a lot of his gear. That's his nickname, Chris Seligman. And he bubbled with us, and that's when these two started writing music. And they just would stay up at night, and I would put the kids to bed, and they would spend every night just writing song after song after song after song. And then it continued into Ontario. And then that we kind of ended up being exactly how we always write, even though this was the time where we wanted to all do it in the same room together. But Capleton Hill was written in like he had the beginnings of it and the music had been written, but we finalized it in the room. I kind of came up with a chorus. And
yeah, I felt like the record was made in a very short space of time in a weird way, because until I'm with them, it's just, you know, I'm sitting looking at a screen trying to pretend to be a musician.
But you were sending like the saddest stuff. Like you would send like, if I never see London again, like they would send him music and it was sad music. And then he would send it back and I was like, oh God. So I would send back Pretenders being like, I'm going to try to cheer Torquay up. Like, this is, I'm going to write a song for him. And like, we were kind of communicating in this way over like lyric writing and trying to stay together through the art.
Right. Well, why don't you play another song for us?
This is one of these songs that Amy sent to me to cheer me up.
Tell us a little bit about it.
It's one of my favorite Star songs. I love this tune. All the ones I had absolutely nothing to do with, absolute favorites.
Come on, build
Elevator
fire.
Love Letter, love it.
What's become of you in that day?
So I just realized I should turn this around.
There you go. Now we're face to face.
And then that way I'm not like a tennis umpire. It's no good for the cameras.
It's no good for the cameras. But radio's not a visual medium. Thank God for us.
Yeah. So, you know, we alluded at the beginning of the conversation that we've known each other a few years. 22.
22
years.
Yeah.
And I was looking at a recording we made back at my old gig. In October, 22 years ago, at the Museum of Television and Radio.
Yes. Day after all of our gear was stolen.
Exactly. Yeah. In New York City. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And a lot of things happen in 20 years, right? A lot of things happen to everybody. You know, people get married, people get divorced, people have children. Yeah. You know, older family members pass. I mean, as we get older, as this band gets older, are you guys sort of in a more mature place these days?
No.
I disagree. I think we are. I mean, I know you could make a joke about it, and to some degree, it is hilarious because we're still infantile. But I do see ways in which we're better to each other than we used to be, and we're stronger than we used to be, and we deal with adversity in less crazy ways than we used to, I think. And there's still plenty of adversity, but I think time has been kind to the relationships in the band, you know? Obviously, otherwise we wouldn't be doing this anymore. You know,
yeah, I mean, any relationship that makes it through 20 years has had some ups and downs, and I've known you well enough to know that there have been ups and downs.
For sure.
And times when perhaps stars wouldn't exist, and not just because of relationships, but, you know, the industry, finances, and all that kind of stuff. When you set out to get back together and write more songs and do another album, that was not necessarily guaranteed before you actually set up to do it, right?
We did a play. So I think that was really what made us the most mature we've ever done. It was the biggest risk we've ever taken. We wrote a play with Chris Abraham and Zach Russell from Crow's Theater about our lives and about the crumbling industry. And it exercised kind of a lot of tumultuous things that we would go through. Like now when these two get into it, it's like, oh, we're just in the play. Like, this is what we're gonna get over with. Because it's basically a play about how each of us quit. And then it starts the next day where then all of a sudden we're there again.
Yeah, everybody Nobody in the play quits the band.
Nobody ever quits. And just we did 8 shows a week, 3-week run.
Wow.
And we were supposed to do it again in Montreal and then set it up in New York and then the world shut down. But it's the last thing we did. Like, we didn't make a record for 5 years because we were writing this play.
Right.
And it's what made us the best we've ever been, is by doing this totally weird thing. I mean, whatever for me and Torque, we're actor children. But for these four guys to, like, get up on stage and
be amazing
and tell their story and do monologues and have that bravery. It brought us pretty close together, and that, like, we were like little theater kids. It was cute.
Yeah, people cried on closing night. I won't say who.
All of us.
Their name is Chris's. It was amazing for me too, because I've, you know, my theater family, I've been an actor, and I've always been considered the hyper-dramatic, emotional person in the band.
Really?
So to watch all these guys become soft inside.
And
everybody
had their own story. Like, everybody had their own arc and their own everybody was the star of the show. So that was really interesting, and I feel like that changed us as a band more than anything after the 20 years of being together.
How so, though? I mean, it changed you in what way?
Well, you can't have a fight 8 times a week on stage and then have that fight off stage. It feels redundant. So
it's too meta.
There's a lot of times where now we'll get into something and we'll be like, okay, now we're doing
the play now.
So.
And the play was set in our rehearsal space.
Yeah,
every time I go to rehearsal, it was like you'd climb the stairs to the rehearsal. That was the beginning of the play, and I'm always like, I'm in the play now. So it just, as I said, it exercises that thing out of you, and then you get to become anew.
Yeah,
it's fresh now. Like, we get to be.
Everybody should play themselves in the story of their life.
I just always think that, you know, if you can stay alive long enough, you should be able to reach a place where your relationships are okay.
Good. Yeah,
right.
I think that's true.
Maybe
even
good.
And we went to therapy as a band, which also was amazing.
As a band,
we went to therapy.
Please do tell me about that.
We Metallica'd it.
That poor, sweet therapist was like terrified, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, no, we went to therapy. It was really good. We had, because we hit a point, and sometimes you need a outside person. Like, I believe in therapy. I believe in couples therapy. I believe in band therapy. And it was, we've done it.
What was refreshing, Nick, was that it turns out it's all my fault. So everybody was very happy. And we've moved along from that point.
Is there somebody who does that as a band therapist?
Well, there's that guy in the Metallica movie who wears the sweaters. But I don't think there's someone.
It's just family therapy. It's family. We're family.
We are
it's
a
the
family.
Same. It's
That's
just the
thing.
Same as family
I'm
therapy.
Just looking for another career.
You'd be good at that, actually.
I'm thinking
man.
There's good money in
You've
LA
had
doing that.
Enough experience.
Right?
You definitely have.
I'm going to let you guys play the last song of the set. We'll talk afterwards, obviously, but it's always good to see you.
Let me say this, I always do. We're not here without you.
Yep.
You are a legend. You are a true music lover. You've brought music and excitement and the joy of music to millions of people. And when we had nothing and we had no hope, You stood up for us. You played our records. You treated us like rock stars. We will never forget.
Well, you,
it.
You are
a
rock
prince.
Stars. Uh-huh. So, and,
so are you.
That's,
you,
that's really nice. And you're always so so very lovely well, about that. So
I can't forget. I can't yeah. forget yeah. the people who got me here.
What?
Yeah, even when it's shitty, I'm like, there. Goddamn yeah. Nick Harcourt. What? Why do you have to play our records?
We could have been done yeah. 22 years ago.
What's the last song you're going to play for us?
We're going to play a quiet one called Snowy Owl. And this was written by Chris and I. Chris wrote on, he's been playing guitar a lot over the last few years, teaching himself to play guitar, and he's gotten really good at it and has been writing on it a lot for himself. But he and I were in North Hatley, and we were sitting around hanging out, and we wrote this song together. So
all right.
There's always one song that kind of comes back to me and Sully on the record, and this one is it. This is Snowy Owl.
Nothing here has changed except you. Same old town, same lives passing through. Meet me at the mall after dark. Drink until we're dizzy. Fuck in the park. All of it gone, all in the past. Every long night that we thought would last. All of it gone, all in the past. All of the things that we thought would last forever. I know they're really gone. Thank you.
So that was an 88.5 Live with Stars. Always good to see you guys.
Always thank great to see you.
Wherever it might be. I want to thank the folks here at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery for letting us use the space before your show.
Beautiful place. Tonight.
The Masonic Lodge. And the new album is called From Capleton Hill.
It is.
And you should get it because it's really good.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, great
thank
to see you guys.
Thank you. Come
thank
see us
so
in
much.
Canada sometime.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
We'll pay you.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's the budget?
Yeah. I'll figure it out.
And thanks to our guys, Matt and Tristan as well, who always
thank
do such
guys.
A great job on that's the cameras cool. and the audio and everybody here. Thank you. Thanks,
cheers.
Guys.
Thank you.
Thank
bye.
You so much,
if you love checking out this 88.5 Live, and you'd love to support this station and keep these musicians coming in here and doing these awesome, intimate performances where we get to sit and chat with them and get unique performances that you can't find anywhere else. Also, you can end up with this great vinyl. It is the Independent 88.5 FM Studio Sessions, Volume 2. Find out more and donate today by going to 88.5fm.org.